This is CliffCentral.com.
Hey, that song again from our producer, Duncan. Useless song. Apologies about that. We start the show every week with a rubbish song.
Hospital Pass.
Hospital Pass. Thank you, Duncan. Thank you to Gareth, Cliff and the gang back again tomorrow. Hey, welcome to Salman Nonke. It is the Konza Show, Wednesday, 9 until 10. Speak now.
My mic is off. That's what Duncan just
said. We're quietening. Yeah, you see, we're keeping you quiet here. All right, so today we are talking about something that happened over the weekend. Dual citizenship became a big, big word in the South African context, all over Twitter. Obed. How do you pronounce it? Is that right?
Obed.
Obed.
Obed. Please.
No, but I feel bad when, like, is that?
Obed.
Obed.
It's a black Obed. Name. This is like, this is an authentic black name. You can't find it anywhere.
Right. Okay. Obed. 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 So Obed is going to be, we're going to be chatting to Obed about his comments around dual citizenship. It really talks to this idea of being South African, what it means to be South African.
Yeah, it's, so I must be honest. This topic,
yes,
for me, smacks of elitist. Like, who cares? Which black person walking in the street cares about dual citizenship? I mean, this only affects 0.1% of South Africans.
Okay, what is the story here? Let's talk about it. So, basically, Obed.
So, Obed, Obed Mapela.
Obed Mapela. I can say his
name. Obed Mapela.
Obed Mapela. And he is the head of the ANC's National Executive Committee on International Relations, said that he is re-looking at dual citizenship and whether or not it actually should exist. And the reason he cited was because of Jewish people going to fight
to
for
fight
Israel.
Against the Palestinians, yeah.
Now, before you say anything, and we've got Tebe Kalafeng who's dying to say something already. We have to keep his mic off because we want Obed to speak. Before we say anything, let's understand what he actually meant.
Yeah.
And then we can discuss.
Yeah.
How does that sound?
Yeah.
Obed Mapela, thank you so much for joining us. You're in Cape Town today. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very, very good. Thank you so much for your time. We're speaking to Obed Mapela. He's the head of the ANC National Executive Committee on International Relations. We saw your comments, Obed, in the Sunday Times. Let's understand them. Let's unpack them. What do you mean by re-looking at the dual citizenship in this country? What do you mean by that?
Well, thank you very much. And we are serving for the National General Council of the ANC, where about 4,000 branch delegates will be attending to look at the midterm report. And among the issues, we had identified some policy gaps within our own systems of government. And one of the policy gaps, amongst others, was the issue of the dual citizenship. As to whether the instrument, as designed by the world body, United Nations, is still relevant in the circumstances in today's world or not. However, what prompted us to look at it more was the abuse that is taking place, where people with dual citizenships will then have a divided loyalty to start with between the country that they stay in and another country who their original family or they migrated from to come to South Africa. And then we then say, what are the abuses? And one of the issues is their loyalty being divided. You find them joining armies of another country where they are conscripted into the army. And the phenomena is growing. And we see more and more of these young people of a particular origin and going into that country to join the army. And I think that was the issue that prompted us. And we then established a task team to look at the matter and report at the October National General Council. But I can say where I am now is that Belgium does not allow for dual citizenship on its territory. You are either becoming a Belgian if you are, so wish to, but then you must then renounce your other countries' citizenship if you want to be Belgian citizens. Namibia here in South Africa, just next to us, also has abolished the dual citizenship system. And I know people will say, in the globalized world, why would we still do that? But the issues of security are arising, and the issue of the abuse is also a concern.
Tata Babela, you speak about the numbers are growing of those that are taking up arms on behalf of other countries. Do you have a number for us? So what exactly are those numbers? And why is this becoming a central or one of the main issues at the NGC? I imagine you've got a lot of things that you need to discuss there. Why has this taken center stage when there are so many other things that the ANC is confronted with?
Well, definitely is one of the many issues that we will be discussing there. And at the time of discussing, we didn't know that it will make such big headlines. It will be the moment of the week. We thought that we're just innocently looking at the system and looking at the options that are available. It's still a discussion. There's no decision as yet. But this abuse was also a concern because I think the whole world is now worried about security. With the rise of terrorism, but also your citizens in arms in another country, and you let's take just a practical example, two of them, because each time I use one, I get accused of being anti-Jewish, and yet I'm not. The issue of Israelis, the Jewish people who are going to Israel, settling there, still with the citizenship of South Africa, acquires their homeland citizenship, or they've had it all along. When they arrive there, they get conscripted into the army, and they say it's a law within the Israeli situation. And then they go and fight the Palestinians, and they are on the search point, harassing the Palestinians, oppressing the Palestinians using the army, while the right of Israel to defend itself against any attack, we are not denying that. However, the issue of the Palestinian, which the ANC support all along, have been said that our freedom cannot be free for so long as the Palestinian people are not free. Now, it's a contradiction in itself.
Obed, can I just interrupt you there for a second? Because, and to sound a little bit controversial here, I actually agree with you with regards to people fighting for other countries' military. But we've got law against that. It's already illegal as a South African to fight for a foreign army or to be in place of military conflict helping one side. Why are we not just putting those people in jail? Not one person that you're speaking about right now who's gone and fought for Israel or the Israeli army has ever been put in jail as a South African citizen. Why are we not just implementing this law, and why are we worrying about this dual citizenship thing?
Well, it's because the person will argue in terms of the law that I did it as a citizen of another country and I was not doing it on behalf of South Africa. I've got the citizenship of that particular ex-country. Unlike in the missionary situation where then you go and join the missionaries, and then you then they engage in illegal wars there. And obviously the law is very firm and very strong. And those, whoever does that, they know that the law will be powerful on them. That is why they renounce our citizenship and assume another citizenship somewhere. And then they fight in those particular wars, knowingly that they are no longer South African. Because if they are found to be a South African involved in the missionary activities, definitely the laws will catch up with them. So now that's how the matter is. But the dual citizenship one is a bit tricky, because then if a person says, sorry, I'm an Israeli, I'm a British, there's nothing that you can do in terms of my law there, and what you do in that particular circumstance. And I think that is the issue of the challenge and the assessment that we want to do. Either we abolish the system like Namibia and Belgium did, or we then look at how to curtail the abuses. Probably if we are to give you a citizenship, we might then say that you have been restricted on the following, and we put in restrictions. You can't be a soldier on either side. You cannot be a soldier in South Africa, you cannot be a soldier in another country that you have citizenship with. Why can't we then bring in those particular keeping and then improve the law and strengthen the law in that area? So that even if they go to settle or then decide to be a learner, then they know that they cannot join that army, or otherwise they renounce their citizenship of South Africa. And I think there should be mechanisms. And therefore, the heat as is, I couldn't understand why it was so heated because it's still a discussion and we'll look at all options.
Dr. Bapela, you mentioned that this is still a discussion document. Take us into the deliberations in the ANC at the moment. And I'm just thinking about a lot of your comrades and some of the older ones who were in exile and by virtue of that might have acquired citizenship in other countries who now sit with dual citizenship themselves. Because what you have presented is a discussion document and it's going to be debated. What are the different sides of this argument that are emerging?
Well, look, currently there's been no opposition to a discussion, and it's in the spirit of the African National Congress to allow a debate and a discussion. And then whoever has views or come across and engage on those views, and already just in South African situation without just mentioning the ANC members, there are those who say economically it might have a serious impact on some of the people who might have assumed citizenship, and they are not involved in the wars or armies of those particular nations. And there are a majority of them, and they are already saying, why then target everybody and paint everybody with the same brush? And I think that is a view that is amazing. While listening to that particular view, we'll look at the economic impact, we'll look at the security impact, we'll look at the social impact, and then begin to then say, where do we tweak the law, tinker the law, so that then this issue of the fear that has been expressed can be adequately addressed and in a particular way without abolishing probably the instrument of dual citizenship, probably coming in with the mechanisms that cap or restrict you from participating in certain activities once you assume the citizenship of whatever country that you want to belong to.
Ntate Bapela, as we wrap up with you, so we have seen how the visa changes have played out in South Africa and the impact that has had or apparently had on tourism. And this again seems to be something else that would affect at least our relationship with certain countries and people who align themselves with certain countries. How are you seeing this playing itself out? Because we are hearing really concerning statistics about how tourism and so on has been impacted. Are you thinking about the impact of this? Have you done a feasibility study on what you've proposed? And have you come to certain conclusions about how our economy and our international relations and so on will be affected?
Well, definitely the task team has been established as a result from July, when the discussion took place in the ANC and was endorsed for discussions to go ahead at the NGC. So that task team will be reporting in the beginning of October on their own findings. We are engaging on the dual citizenship law itself. What does it say? Which was adopted by Parliament. It's just a wide open type of legislation that says anyone who wants citizenship, for so long as you are over 5 years in South Africa, it's available for you. You can take it up. But we're also looking at countries such as Belgium. It doesn't have an impact economically on Belgium, but obviously probably they took that decision a long time ago. And in Namibia was recently. With Namibia, they were arguing with the minister, Nkosazana Dlamini, at the time when Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, when she was the Minister of Foreign Affairs in South Africa, to say, why are you giving Namibians a second citizenship? What if a war breaks out between South Africa and Namibia? Well, it's likely not to happen, obviously. However, they were just giving the extreme example. And where is the loyalty of those people going to be? And I think those are the factors that we look, the economic factor definitely will look, the recent, as you say, visa issue in South Africa, the impact it has had, we'll look at that. We might end up not even discarding the instrument of dual citizenship, but we might then look at where we need to close the gaps within the law and within the policy. And we may emerge with that. But for now, let's allow a discussion. Let's look at models elsewhere in the world, what works and what doesn't work, and look at our own situation, what will work and what will not work, and we are not blind to realities as the African National Congress.
Obed, thank you so much for joining us today on CliffCentral.com. That's Obed Boipelo. He is the head of the ANC National Executive Committee on International Relations. He's also the guy that is looking into banning of the dual citizenship at the next ANC-NEC Lekgotla. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Bye.
All right, Rory. Okay. You've wanted to say something for a long time. Let's have it.
Hey. So, number one, it's a discussion document. And people need to stop freaking out every time somebody says, let's put something up for discussion. We need discussion. Number two, this affects, you know, very... So I'm getting what he's saying. Mm. Right? So people are going, carrying the South African flag with them and taking the South African flag into battles that we wouldn't want to fight as South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we need to... That's a concern. So I get that. Thirdly, why do you have dual citizenship? For whose benefit? Is this so if South Africa, for example, so you've got these two citizenships. If the situation in South Africa, so I'm thinking about the Greeks, right? Maybe four, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, they would say, you know, I've got these two citizenships. If this thing goes balls up, I'm keeping my Greek citizenship. It would be interesting to find out from a Greek person right now. How do you feel about that green passport right now? How do you feel? So for me, it's a very selfish thing. As an African... Okay, I'm claiming the African thing. Right?
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
But for me, whether it's as an African or whatever, I believe in solidarity. I believe in you standing for something, right? And I've heard your arguments about loyal to what. But at the end of the day, I believe that we have fought as South Africans for this right to be called South Africans.
Mm.
And you're either with us or you're not with us. Not against us, but you're not with us. So. For me, it's important for us to understand, where do your loyalties lie? You know, are you here just to get the good times and the benefits and then you leave so you don't identify with us? Then why must we, you know, those who suffered with us in the trenches need to be the ones we celebrate with when we're enjoying the fruits. But you don't want to be part of the hard times. You just want to be part of the good
times.
What
about the guy that comes from the Congo, Malawi, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, born there, has that passport, comes to South Africa for a better life? Finds the better life, stays here, enjoys it, becomes a citizen legally, because after a certain amount of years, you can apply for working visa, citizenship, and then eventually a passport. And now the government is saying, you decide.
No, but...
You decide.
But does that guy, the guy that you just... Does he have dual citizenship or has he renounced his
No,
Congolese?
He's got dual citizenship.
How many of those exist? I really think that this is a white middle-class, upper white middle-class problem.
Want it to be. But,
I think... No, I don't want it to be. I'm thinking that it probably is. I just don't know of a lot of Africans with dual citizenship. And maybe Tebe will enlighten me. Maybe I'm wrong. But I just don't know.
The man
know
with all the statistics. All right, let's bring him in here. He's been dying to speak. He's the what I would call the South African Seal. Doesn't he look like a good-looking version of Seal?
You're doing that white thing again. You're doing that.
They all look the same. They all look the same. All right. Tebe, hello. How are you? Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Andrew.
Tebe Ikalafeng is a brand expert. He's worked with brands like Nike. He brought Nike to Africa. This is the guy that brought the swoosh to Africa, basically.
But more importantly, he is a brand specialist for countries. Look, I hear you saying, you know, I manage a particular product in Coca-Cola. I hear you saying you manage Coca-Cola, but
Swaziland.
Yeah.
All right.
You get me, right? You get me.
Tebe, let's talk about this dual citizenship thing. And I think really where I want to take this conversation and where we've been speaking about, Rory, is this idea of what it's like to be South African. Is there a South African amongst us? Is there a feeling of it? Do you have any idea about how many African people have dual citizenship? You're such a stats man.
No,
I know you got it.
No.
I know you got it.
No, I don't have a number, but conceivably there'll be a lot of Africans who've got, particularly those who are not born in South Africa. They will hold their Nigerian passports as well as South African passports. Because, I mean, this discussion about dual citizenship is really about, more often it's about convenience rather than anything else. Because if you have the convenience of an American passport, you know in 80% of the countries you don't need a visa, you travel with ease. If you have a British one, similarly. So a lot of people, when they do get this citizenship, it's not necessarily because they want to move back to Europe or they want to move to America. Mm. It's only because that very small percentage of people are the people who travel and they go to multiple countries. And you know, traveling, I mean, I travel a little bit, and in my traveling, you can imagine you have to get a visa for every single country you go to. And in our continent, it's even more of a nightmare. That's why it's important that we need to fast track this idea of a uni visa in Africa. So that as an African, you should be able to travel anywhere with ease, as long as you produce an African passport, as easy as it is for any African with a visa, with an African passport going to Rwanda. Rwanda is the only country in Africa where you don't need a visa to apply for a visa before you arrive there. You arrive at the airport as an African, you show your visa, your passport, and you can get your visa on arrival.
You see, Terry's got some sympathy here because he carries an American passport as well.
I have a South African passport. I have tons of them, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
I have tons of South African passports. But my grandfather was raised in, was born in Botswana. So I'm thinking I should have the right to have a Botswana passport, because it's a couple of things. One, I did say it's about convenience. But I think the second thing as well is about identity. If your parents are, like my grandparents are from Botswana and I was born and raised in South Africa, I'm actually Botswana and South African. I should have the right to carry both passports. That's how I look at it. I don't think there's a problem, but I do agree with the sentiments raised by Albert Bapela and what you also say, that if people are going to abuse this privilege, then they should be sanctioned. They should be jailed. Something should be done to them because it's not supposed to be for that. It's supposed to be for a simpler reason. Convenience and identity.
Let's pick up on this idea of identity. So if you carry a British passport and a South African passport, you identify with what brought the British to Africa, which was colonialism. So you carry that, and then you carry a South African passport. What do you identify with? When we say identity, what is it that you're identifying with in both?
It's from a heritage perspective, is that you would say a small number of white South Africans who claim that their heritage passports, whatever you call that passport. They get it because they say, my parents are from Germany, they are from England. Of course, what that means is that every time you show that passport, you must know exactly, as you say, that it comes with everything that goes with that country. Yeah. So whether it's colonialism, whether it's apartheid, or whether it's a corruption, whatever it is, you carry the identity of that passport. So I guess what you're probably saying is that, why complicate your life? In Africa, we've got enough problems already. So you don't want to have two passports and have too many problems that you have to defend.
Exactly.
So rather, it's easier to defend one country or even one continent.
Yes.
But I think we need an African passport rather than a South African passport.
I agree with you. So you do a lot of work for Ghana as a nation, and so let's remove ourselves from the South African context. What's happening out there in other African countries? How do they perceive this situation? And Ghana, you know, you might say is a little bit further ahead in terms of just claiming the fact that we are African and we're sovereign, and much further ahead than us, who are still trying to break the mold of being Western or built in the image of a Western identity. They're claiming more of an African identity. How would they perceive this, and how does this actually undermine our ability to claim our African identity if we continue to hold on to these other identities?
I will agree with you in one thing. This problem that we're discussing here, it is not a global problem. It's perhaps more a Eurocentric or a Western problem. All Africans actually probably couldn't care less about this idea, because anyway, they'll find a way to get that passport to find a job.
Look at this.
We are uncensored.
But if you come across, and I mean, I work in several countries now, but if you come across a Nigerian, nobody is prouder to be from their country more than a Nigerian in this continent. They are the most authentic, most national citizens that you can find anywhere else. I think West Africa, matter of fact, they mostly are like that. Of course, that if you separate the Francophone West Africa and Central Africa, because the Central Africans, you know, this is what colonialism has done for us. And maybe actually I was wrong when I talked about most Africans probably would not worry about it. There's a problem actually in the continent. If you look at Francophone Africa, I was in Gabon last week. And when you're in Gabon, they are pretty much French. The president is Gabonese, but he's married to a French woman. Mm. His PA is the mother's wife, the mother's the wife's mother. His chief of staff is a Frenchman. So all French. The food that comes into Gabon comes from France. Mm. So most Francophone Africans, I guess they'll be distraught. They are a bit distraught now they cannot get the French passport anymore, because it used to be their source of pride. Mm. Because to them it used to be, wow, this is a new world. It's much more sophisticated than the countries which France has messed up themselves, the Francophone countries. So it's better to escape to those to France and to Belgium and to Switzerland, because at least there it's much better than their countries they come from. I think if they still had the opportunity to get the French passport as they used to get, theirs won't be ancestral, I guess it would be colonial passport. Mm. So if you could still get the colonial passport, they would fight to get it, because to them it was a freedom to a better economic situation and all those. Not so much, and of course colonialism and apartheid has done a lot of damage to us, but we cannot live in the past, we have to live in the future. And the future is Africa.
I think that this brings up a really interesting point about what is it to be South African? Kinamang, basically, you know, like, who are we? And I think the problem is that we associate on a very, very small level. So what I mean by that is white people, for example, and I'm not talking about all of them, but will associate normally with that religion or culture, because they can't associate with being South African. They don't feel South African. They feel ostracized in a way. So it's easier to say I'm Greek South African or I'm Italian South African.
Do they want to feel South African? If I give you and I say being South African, being South African means this. I want you to let go of all of these tendencies and embrace this. Will they do
that? That's the question mark. What is this? You see, this is what hasn't been outlined, and this is what I'm saying. But we need to try and outline this, right?
If you go to a country just next door, which is just 4 hours or 30 minutes by flight, Botswana, anybody in Botswana, whether they're black or they're white or they're Indian or they're colored, when you speak to them, they say, I'm a Botswana.
Botswana. Mm.
So that's and their identity document says, Omang.
Mm.
So I always thought it's such a beautiful way in terms of how you build a nation. Mm. That even the people who whether they're white or color, except I guess the president's mother, who never went to Botswana, but wow. Late mother got may her soul rest in peace. You know,
she didn't know Botswana.
It's known. It's reputed that she never quite got the grasp of this complicated language to which she was married into and produced heirs to the throne. Wow. One of the heirs doesn't quite speak Setswana so well, but he leads the country nonetheless. I think what Botswana has done well, though, on a serious note, is they've been able to get people to rally around Botswana, what it means to be Botswana, and to identify as Botswana. South Africa's challenge is we are still not at that point where we can speak with one voice. Flag. We've got one flag, the Republic of South Africa. We've got the national anthem. We've got all those that are supposed to help us, to bind us together. But we're still in the infancy in terms of identifying, in terms of actually capturing and articulating what it means to be South African. Because and then once you've articulated what it means to be South African, the next step then is to those who identify with it. Mm. And if you don't identify with it, I think you should not be in this country.
So you're a brand strategist, and this is the stuff that strategists are made for, complexity. What is it that makes the South African context so complex that we are unable to get there? And who must lead us there? Who within South Africa is supposed to be leading us to this point of, number one, defining what South Africa, what a South African is, and number two, getting us there? And why are we any different to, say, Ghana and all the other countries?
Well, I'll start outside and come in. Ghana got their independence 1957 and Nigeria 1960. So if you look around, those countries have are quite a ways down the road in terms of separating themselves from what brought them down or what was pushing them down. So they've had, if you will, the benefit of time and experience to suffer together, to define together. They also have a second thing which we don't have. They are not as diverse as we are. They are more, and when I say diverse in terms of black, white, colored, Indian. They are probably mostly black. And as a result, it's a bit easier to first identify with we are all black, we are all from here. Mm. And then, whereas South Africa is much more diverse, and in South Africa, then you have those multiple ancestral loyalties that I'm from Britain, I was Greece, I came here in a ship from India, the Dutch East India Company, Jan van Riebeck dropped me here in 1652. You know, we've got all those complexities, which as South Africans, we need to get rid of first, and then go towards the great South Africa that we all aiming to get. You know, if you recall 2010, during the towards the World Cup, how all of us were able to rally around just a simple idea of defending the South African identity, all supporting the Bafana Bafana as bad as they are, supporting them, you know.
Well, we were also, Terry, just to interject there, we were also supporting South Africa because and I don't mean by the sports team, but South Africa is the nation, because you remember the journalists who came here and said, South Africa is not ready. South Africa is going to have the worst World Cup. Look at this African country. You know, it's just in shambles, blah, 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 blah. All the problems.
We love our country. We supported our country. We rallied behind our country. It was probably the only time in our history, other than perhaps 1994, when we truly flew one flag. And every single one of us had a flag on the car, on the rear view mirrors, at the house, and all those. You know, it's quite important to identify with that visual symbol first, the national anthem first. Because, you know, in South Africa, you still have people who don't know the words of the national anthem, or you still have people who sing the first half and others who only sing the second half of the national anthem. Mm. So we still have such a long way to answer your question, whose job it is. In South Africa, there's two parts, three parts to it. One, we've got the institutions that have been set up in South Africa. We've got the arts and culture. We've got Brand South Africa. We've got government communication. And those institutions have been set up. And one of them I sat on the board of is Brand South Africa. We've been set up with a singular purpose to help define and to capture and to celebrate that which makes us South Africa. And the second thing that exists in South Africa is you then have the people of South Africa themselves. No amount of law, no amount of institutions are going to force you to behave a certain way. As South Africans themselves, we also need to go out of our own way and identify with this country and fight for this country. Because if you don't identify and fight for this country, we are never going to get that. I think what we need in South Africa, and I dare say this, we need another crisis that will bring us together. Because now if you look at what apartheid did, apartheid brought us all together. Whether you're Jewish, whether you're colored, Indian, it brought us together, those who believed in the same idea, and together we were able to fight the one big enemy. The World Cup was another quote-unquote crisis, because it was a crisis because everybody said
we're
never going to do it. We've got a bad team. We don't have infrastructure. We're poor. That's what everybody says. We're African. And that crisis brought us together, South Africans, because we rose to the challenge. We need another challenge as South Africa. And I don't think that challenge is just the economy, but we need something that forces us to look inside, because when we can look inside, we can look up.
I'm getting the sense that South Africans are fair weather citizens. When the weather is good, they're South Africans, and then for the rest of the time, they just don't associate. I've got this hypothesis that I'm going to put out that people tend to, or countries tend to go down the path that led them to success. So if it was a coup, when there's a crisis, they go and they have another coup, and we feel better. South Africa, it was an event. So for us, events are what makes us feel together. And then when the event is over, we forget.
Very interesting.
So how do we get ourselves out of this mindset of events and actually move towards where this thing is now more sustained and it's real? What do we have to do? Because we can't keep having events. Now we've bid for Olympics. They're going to come. Commonwealth Games. We're like constantly bidding for these things. But it doesn't stick. What is it going to take?
Yeah, but I think it's going to take a reflection by every single South African. But let's look at the examples that exist already. You've got somebody like Trevor Noah. If you look at his Twitter profile, he tells you in the profile he's a South African in his Twitter profile. You look at somebody like Kevin Anderson, who holds an American green card. When they interviewed him and they asked him about it, he says, I'll never play for the United States of America because I'm South African.
It's a bad example, but I'll keep it to myself. I hate Kevin.
Yeah. I know. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, at least on the big stage, he is willing to identify with the country.
Sure.
And I think what South Africans are suffering with now, it's just a confidence. We're suffering from a lack of confidence. Because once we are confident in who we are and what we are capable of doing and also capable of overcoming any of the challenges that we face now, we'll be able to come together. But I think it is the big South African project, because we've now had a crisis called apartheid we had to overcome, or evil rather. We had an evil called apartheid we had to overcome. We had an event called Brand South Africa that we had to get over. We now need a project called South Africanism, which we need to define and we need to all buy into, and all of us need to subscribe to. And I think this time, with Obed Bapela's point, you only carry the South African passport like they do in the US if you can recite some of the principles of what it means to be American. Because, you know, in the US, they'll ask you, there's a survey.
Yes.
Yeah, I think there's not a survey. It's just a check. Mm.
So this brings up an interesting point about one of the big things about South Africa is that we say, we are combined in our diversity. And this is a big thing. And maybe we need to get rid of that. On the line right now is Fana Makwena. He is part of the EFF. Fana, good morning to you. I saw an interesting article a few days ago about one of the EFF members saying how they wanted to rename South Africa, which I found fascinating. I know it's not law yet. I know that it's not something that the EFF stands by as a policy yet. But it does bring up an interesting concept of, to be South African, do we need to throw out everything that we once knew and start afresh?
I don't think so. I think it would be naive of us to do that. I think we do need to build on what we have. But a lot of what we have is what we don't have. the point that I want to make specifically on the issue of how do we brand ourselves as a nation is the fact that we spent a lot of time and money branding ourselves to the world. What we have failed to do is to brand ourselves to ourselves.
Yes.
And you know, I'm not a big fan of countries like the States, but what they have achieved is to find an identity, an internal identity of who are we as a people, and that's where we have failed as a country. We've done everything to market ourselves to everyone else except to ourselves.
How would you do that? What is the thing that you want, you know, I mean, given that you're part of a political party, right, which obviously has a political agenda, but how do we bring South Africans together? Because it feels like every South African is on the outside looking in and just waiting to see what happens.
Look, I think from a political perspective, what we should have done is to take care of the issues of inequality. Because that's the one thing that has separated us. It has sidelined a huge portion of our people, and there's only a few who are proud to say, "I'm proud to be South African." Why? Because South Africa works for them. So economically, what we should have done is to equalize the playing field and make sure that we're starting. I mean, you know, we're not going to start off from a completely clean slate. But we should have make it equitable. issue of economy and who's a player and who's not. That's one. Two, the era of Nelson Mandela, and I think it failed because of this inequality issue. The era of Nelson Mandela, what it tried to do, the concept of nation building. We even called ourselves the Rainbow Nation. I think it was probably a correct dream, just badly executed. And those are some of the things that we need to work on. Who are we? We should be getting, you know, the Department of Arts and Culture is playing games, because what they should be out there explaining to our people, or finding out what our people feel about who they are. We should be creating a culture of unity in this country. And the Department of Arts and Culture is concerned about, you know, me renaming streets and all of those things, which are equally important. But we should be concentrating on people, because the people is that's the currency that define us as a nation.
But Fana, we saw when the EFF went into Parliament, it went in with a different attire, and that was an identity. And yeah. I get the sense that it was, you know, we're taking the ordinary South African into Parliament. And that was a sense in which you typified the ordinary South African as somebody who wears overalls and those outfits. Would you say that is a type of identity that we're looking to get to as South Africa, or what does that South African identity look like? Because I think that's where everybody's struggling. Everybody says that we need a South African identity. Everybody says that it is important that we get to that point.
And it must change.
But yeah. no one is helping us to define what does that mean. What does that mean? What language is this person that is South African speaking? How does this person look like? And how does this person seem authentic, whether he is white or black? You know, these white people that walk around with these fake accents, and these black people that walk around with these fake accents that just doesn't feel authentic. What does an authentic South African look like, irrespective of the color of his skin?
Look, I think that's the identity that I can define at this point in time, because when the EFF went into Parliament, what we're saying is this portion of our population, and it's a huge portion, 25% of people who are unemployed, and on top of the people who are employed, they are, you know, earning below the breadline, and that is and we've marginalized those people. Those people don't feel like a part of the country. You know, as somebody said earlier on, they only feel like a part when there's a soccer match happening or something, you know. And then we act it out, and then, you know, end of that event, we're done. We go back, they go back to their shacks, and everybody else goes to their things, right? So when we went into Parliament, what we were saying is we want them to feel like Parliament is theirs as well. And I think the issue of what is a typical South African will never get to that point until we equalize the economic space, until everybody feels like a part of the country. At this point in time, we have portions of people. We have the sort of black diamonds, we've got the poor, and, you know, we've got the rest of the poor, and then we've got the extremely rich. You understand? And each and every one of those have an identity, which is different from the other, and everybody's pulling in different directions, and that's the thing that we need to get out of the way. So basically what I'm saying is that we cannot divorce the issue of unifying the country as a brand until we've dealt with the economic calamities.
That's correct. Is correct in terms of the inequality as a big separator. But I think fundamentally, though, beyond inequality, as part of helping to define who we are, is having a unified set of values. I don't think it's got anything to do with language. It's got nothing to do with color. It's got nothing to do with locale. It's got everything to do whether we all buy into the same set of values. Because when you speak to an American or you speak to a British person, they'll first tell you, I'm British or I'm American. And when they say that, you know exactly what they mean. They mean these are the set of values that I'm willing to fight for. And that's why they like to say that's not American. And when you listen, particularly during elections, that's the time when you get to see what it means to be an American.
Budfana, there's an interesting thing, and let's play it. Mbuyiseni is known for this. I don't know if you'll be able to hear us play this. I'm interested in the songs that we sing, because I think they're an important part of this identity of ours. Can you hear that? Are we able to get? Azania, are you familiar with that song? Hello?
Yes.
Are you familiar with Azania?
Yeah, absolutely.
This concept of Azania, can you explain it to us, what would be regarded as middle-class liberals who don't understand these terms, and what it means to us in terms of defining becoming Africans and embracing an African identity?
Look, it has a very long history in the beginning, Azania was a kind of a utopia. It was a dreamland. A land that everybody was hoping we would find ourselves in the future. It was a land of equality. It was a land of political participation, of economic participation. It was Africa that belonged to all of us, right? And then it became a nationalism sort of glue. Certain sectors of our political community began to own it. For instance, the Black Conscious Movement began to own it as their own. Of course, you know, there are problems with the name Azania, where it comes from. For instance, you know, there's been and I did some research on it and found that it has Italian roots. So the Africanness of the name Azania itself could be a problem, but it is something that glued people together. You know, there was a sense of a Canaan, of land of milk and honey, when people spoke about Azania, and I think you know we're still a bit nostalgic about that. About that land where that belongs to everybody, that could unify all of us as a people, and we must continue to fight for it. We must continue.
Butebe, Fana Mukwena decides that he's going to make you the Minister of Arts and Culture in the EFF government. what would be your first policy point in driving us to this South Azania?
Can we also say that we're taking 10% of this recruitment free here?
Okay. First, we have to change your uniform. I'm kidding. It's the first policy discussion, Fana.
That's probably the first thing we want to.
You know, because you know when you talk about the culture of South Africa, and I'm making a joke about it now, but when the new South African government, the ANC, got into government in 1994, for a couple of years, it was the argument that Mandela is not dressing like a proper a minister or a proper a leader of a country. He needs to wear suits, which his colonial masters had taught him how to wear well. Mm. He should be wearing that. And he said, no, I'm an African. This is how I want to express myself. Mm. Because I think part of the important things, if you go to West Africa again, what they do so well, they're so proud of their culture. Because culture data is actually one of the fundamental pillars of building a country's brand, okay, or nation brand, because it's what people, it's how people express themselves, and how people articulate themselves. So I think the most important thing that that one needs to do when you get into government as your first policy is, I think people need to do, we need to define what are the South African values. That's most important thing. And then second, we need to get those values into schools. People need to understand in school. We need to be taught that in school. We need to be taught that in at work. It needs to be part of the fabric of South Africa. The problem with everything that we have now as a country is that not everything that we have is part of the fabric of everything we do. Mm. It needs to become the filter of how we judge everything.
Fana, some last words from you just about being South African before we wrap up here. Any last thoughts about what it is to be South African?
I think it is the idea that we care for each other. It is the idea that we will fight for each other. It is the idea that we will carry each other when it's tough. For, you understand? Because I think we're divided by the fact that everybody is running away from being poor. And in running, we're leaving a lot of us behind, and that is becoming it's affecting everything else. It's affecting how we relate to our culture, how we relate to our music, how we relate to our politics, and all of those things. So it's important that we care about each other, whether we're black, white, it doesn't matter. But as a South African, if you know that your fellow countrymen are suffering, then we should be able to take the baton and carry it for each other.
Fana, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us, Fana Makwena, part of the EFF and the New World Order coming to South Africa. We look forward to seeing if Tebe can change your outfits or at least add another color to the red. I like that. Cheers, Fana. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Tebe, last words from you, friend.
Well, if you go to the coat of arms of South Africa, at the bottom there, it says in one of the sign languages, unity in diversity. To me, the fundamental of who we are as South African is we are different people who all come together under the flag of the Republic of South Africa. Now, that means no one culture and no one tribe is superior to the other. That's the other beginning thing in South Africa that we need to deal with. We need to deal with this concept of people saying it's now the Zulus' turns. Last one was the Xhosa's turns. Next one is the Pedi's turns or the Venda's turns. Is we should all be equal under that flag and we should support it to death.
Tebe, thank you so much for joining us. Tebe Ekalafeng, brand countryman, country brand man.
Yeah.
That's a title, hey?
It's time for Africa. That's what I heard him say. It's time for South Africa.
Rory, where are you?
Me, I am South African, my friend, and I care and I love all South Africans, but we must deal with certain tendencies.
Have yourself a lovely week. And listen, check out the podcast if you missed any of the words from our guests. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have yourself a great one. Rookies and Rockstars, up next.
This is CliffCentral.com.